Pine beetles, the federal budget, forest fires, and climate change were topics at a press conference last week at the Forest Service Office in Custer. Tom Tidwell, the chief of the United States Forest Service, took part in a meeting during his first trip to the Black Hills. Tidwell made the stop in South Dakota at the request of Congresswoman Kristi Noem. She invited him to take a firsthand look at the many thousands of acres of pine trees killed by the ongoing beetle infestation. After an aerial tour, Tidwell sat down to a roundtable discussion with industry and interest groups, plus local government officials. SDPB's Charles McElroy attended the meeting and has these excerpts from the press conference that followed.
Chief Tom Tidwell opened his section of the press conference with some general statements about his experience in the Black Hills.
It's been a great day for me. Since I've been in this job as the chief of the Forest Service, I've been able to hear a lot about the innovative approaches that the community and the forest have been able to put into place up here. So to be able to come out here today and actually to see it firsthand, it really helped me to really appreciate everything that's come together here. The Congresswoman talked about the Pine Beetle Response Project. This idea that the forest took on the challenge to be able to do the analysis on 250,000 acres at one time so that now we can move forward, the forest can move forward and be able to be proactive where they need to be able to address the issue, to thin out the forest, to be able to make the forest more resilient, to be able to deal with the threat of bark beetles. Also, it makes the forest more resilient to fire. Now, ponderosa pine forests, there are forests that are basically created through disturbance, whether it's insect and disease or whether it's fire. That's just part of a ponderosa pine ecosystem. Our challenge is to be able to work with that. The other thing that I'll tell you was a little surprising today, I didn't realize the amount of private land that was interspersed in this forest and the amount of development, the number of homes that were out there. And what I saw today is what I see around so many parts of the country is that when almost any time we have a fire anymore, there's a home that's being threatened or there's a community being threatened. And I saw that today. I also saw examples that by being proactive, by being able to thin out these forests, not only helps to slow down the bark beetle infestation, but it protects communities. We saw an example of where, because of the work that had been done, we had a fire started in situations where they were telling me we had 50, 60 mile an hour winds. The fire only, I think, burned over a little over 300 acres was all. You guys didn't cover it. Small. A huge success, but nobody really gets to hear about it. But that part's okay. But the point I wanted to make is that because of the work that's getting done, it's making a difference. It's not only making these forests more resilient, it's making these forests safer. It's safer for our firefighters. It's safer for our communities. The other thing that was so powerful about today, and I felt it when we were having the discussions in the field, but especially at the stakeholders meeting, about how people have come together and, in my view, have taken this concept of collaboration and taken it to a different level, to a level where you have the state and you have the counties, you have interest groups, you have industry that are working together for a common goal. And I'll tell you, this is the model that we need to replicate across the country. And we have pockets of this type of work going on in a lot of different places. But I don't know of any place it's to the level that we have here in the Black Hills. So it's one of the things as we move forward and we want to look at innovative ways to be able to get more work done, to be able to restore our forests the way we need to be able to reduce the wildfire across the country. The more that we can take these efforts here on the hills, the model that they've created, and then replicate that in different parts of the country, we can make a difference. The other key thing I can never forget, and it's so apparent here, is that when we're addressing forest health issues, watershed condition issues, the threat of bark beetles, the threat of wildfire, it has to be an all-lands approach. It cannot just be the Forest Service. It cannot just be the state. It cannot just be the private landowner. It takes all of us working together across large landscapes that'll make a difference. This idea of just treating 500 acres or 1,000 acres here, that will not make the change that needs to occur. We need to be looking at tens of thousands of acres, or in this case up here, hundreds of thousands of acres at a time. And it needs to include all the lands so that when we do thin out these forests, when we do restore the resiliency of these forests, it's at a large enough scale that it'll make a difference. And we can make a difference. We have options. We have choices. We can reduce the threat of wildfire. We can improve the health of our forests. But it's definitely going to take this all lands approach. And for that is another thing. I cannot compliment the Black Hills Forest Service employees enough, the community enough, everyone that's been engaged in this work. Because, and I know that it's not easy. This concept of collaboration is not easy. It takes time and it takes hard work. But I'll tell you, the benefits are worth it. And we're seeing that today, and I'll tell you, we saw it out on the forest. And there's no question that there's a lot of great work that's been done on this forest, and they're geared up, ready to do more. And there's no question that we do need to do more. As we're dealing with the changing climate, the stresses that these forests are dealing with, the concept of having fire seasons now that are 60 to 70 days longer, it's going to take more work than we've done in the past to be able to maintain the resiliency in these forests, to be able to thin out these forests, and then to really understand what we really need to do, not for the just for the conditions we face today, but the conditions we're going to be facing 20 years from now. We're fortunate that we got people that are willing to work on this. We're fortunate that we have the research capacity in the agency and our universities to be able to understand what we need to do in the future. And together, that's how we're going to be successful.
Tidwell was then asked how the infestation in the Black Hills compares to other parts of the country.
You know, there's places in the West that it's slowing down. And part of the reason it's slowing down is that the source is gone. The trees are gone. There's other places where we do see it, the level is dropping off a little bit too. And I think there's a combination of several factors going on there. But the reality of it is that, you know, we're going to continue to have bark beetle infestations. And whether it continues at this level in South Dakota or what we've seen in other parts of the West, we're going to have bark beetles someplace. The place we never hardly talk about too much is in the South. We have the southern pine beetle in the South that in the past, it used to really cause a loss of a lot of our southern forests. But because of the work that we do down there today, we'll be able to kind of hold that in check. So that's our real challenge, that yes, the epidemic may slow down a little bit, the level of infestation will slow down a little bit, which gives us some time to be more proactive. But the idea that we would think, okay, this isn't going to happen again, we don't have to worry about this, it's going to run its course, which I don't see that from the number of red trees that I saw today. It definitely has not run its course here. But we need to recognize what we're up against and the steps that we need to take. So even if it's slowing down a little bit, all that does is give us a little more time to be proactive.
In 2012, Tom Tidwell testified before Congress that climate change is exacerbating the problem of pine beetles and also creating longer and hotter fire seasons. Tidwell says a proactive approach on the ground is critical in dealing with the issue.
Well, when I look at climate change, and it's something that our scientists have been studying the effects of a changing climate for the past 30 years. So we are in a very good position to understand what we're up against. And for me, the science is very clear that climate change is real. There's no question about the length of the fire seasons that we have today from earlier. And yes, we have longer, hotter, drier summers. There's no question about that. We don't have the cold winters that we used to have that really set back the bark beetles. And it's not just the bark beetles. You know, the changing climate we're dealing with, it seems to really favor the invasives, whether it's insect and diseases, whether it's the invasive plants. But the other thing is that we have the science to understand what we need to do. So I'd rather us, you know, instead of throwing up our hands saying, oh, we can't deal with this. No, we can. Because we know what we need to do to really make a difference. We can restore the resiliency in these forests so they can withstand these stresses. If that means there's going to be more drought in the future, more prolonged drought, more disturbance events, okay. But we know we can do things out here on the landscape so that these ecosystems can adapt to the point that they can deal with these stresses. Those are the challenges we have. We put out a study, it was last year, that looked at the future of forests in this country. And currently, the nation's forests, this is all the private land forests, the public forests, the national forests, together they sequester around 12 to 14% of the CO2 emissions every year. So 12 to 14% of CO2 is basically being sequestered into our forests. So they're basically a carbon sink. What our study showed, that by 2040, without any question, and definitely by 2050, the condition of our forests are going to continue to deteriorate, and we're going to continue to lose more forested landscape to the point that our forests are going to be a carbon source instead of a carbon sink. The good side of that is that we know what we can do to change that. We can slow that down. One of the things we have to do is to find ways to be able to keep our private forested land forested. The only way we can do that is to make it economically viable for people to stay on the land, be able to keep their private lands forested. We lose from 4,000 to 6,000 acres a day to development in this country. And yes, we need development. But I think we can make some better choices if we can make sure that it's economically viable for people to stay on their land. And thus, we need to have a healthy infrastructure, healthy industry, so that it is economically viable. The other thing that we can do is do what we can to restore these forests so that increases their overall health. One of the things that's going on with our forests, as they start to get older, they're going to be sequestering less carbon. But if we can get out there and restore these forests, minimize some of the impact from these large catastrophic fires, we can also then keep more green trees out there on the landscape. And then the other key part of it is that when we do have disturbance events, we got to move faster to reforest these areas. We're fortunate up here in the Black Hills that we get natural regeneration. It's easy. That's not the case in a lot of places. And even up here in the hills, you get a large fire, and if it's a severe fire, it burns at a high level of severity, we may have to come in and have to replant those areas. But those are the things that we can do to be proactive. And so when it comes to the changing climate, yes, it's real. For me, it was no question about the science. But also, we can be proactive. It doesn't have to be something we have to sit back and say there's nothing we can do, because that's not the case. There are a lot of things that we can do. It's just going to be able to recognize we need to make the investment, and we need to get going, and I tell you, we need to significantly increase the amount of restoration work we're doing today.